The Anton Savage Show with Kearys.ie on News Talk.
Now, we're joined by a man who for a long time was stuck, plateaued at 33 Irish international games as part of the Ireland management setup, then as manager of the Republic of Ireland. Thankfully, 20 years on, he's had the opportunity to add a couple more to that number. Brian Kerr. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Anton. Great to get a chance to talk to you. It's not often I'm on after the Taoiseach. It's usually after John Molloy or Nathan Murphy or Stephen Doyle on a Sunday afternoon. So this one's a bit different for me. But it was an
only right and proper to have you moving in those circles, Brian. Delighted that we were able to facilitate it. What did you find in the comeback? Because I'm interested in whether or not the setup was any different, if things had changed much in the nigh on 20 years.
Well, it certainly changed a fair bit. So it was interesting for me, obviously, coming back into it. But John O'Shea, as the manager, John was one of the lads who had played with the underage teams that I managed and right through to the senior team. He was part of that. Glenn Whelan, similarly. Paddy McCarthy, who didn't get a senior cap, he was part of many of the underage teams I had. So I was familiar with a lot of the staff. Obviously not with the players, although I was familiar with the players as players, but no, I'd never worked with any of them. So that part was interesting. The rest of the staff, I knew many of them too. I'd worked with some of them in the past, some of the analysts, the backup staff in terms of the medical side of it, like Tony McCarthy. I knew Tony from various guys in my past life from football. But there was a lot of things were different. There was a much more... There was much more emphasis on the strength and condition side of it and the players' welfare and ensuring the players hadn't gone into kind of, I suppose, the danger area where they might get injured in the training or in the matches. There was a lot more emphasis on the technical analysis of the opposition, which, you know, I would have done a fair bit of in my time. I mean, at that time, I think it was... People used to pour a bit of scorn on it that I spent a bit of too much time on it. But now it's gone to the other end of the scale. And what was really interesting for me was how the players absorbed it, Anton. They were right into it. They're obviously brought up in that culture in the clubs of analysis, video analysis, performance analysis. And they were very accepting of the whole thing, and rightly so, because that's the way the world is gone. That's the way sport is gone, and you have to be on that page if you're going to have a chance in games against the opposition type of opposition we were playing at that time in those two games, even Belgium and Switzerland.
That's interesting, Brian, because I remember reading years ago you talking about that players, more or less, if they couldn't sit through half an hour of video that was broken down for them, there was something wrong with them, because you used to get pushback on that level of video analysis. And I saw you talking about what has happened, particularly in rugby since, where you're down to the level of sort of GPS trackers and accelerometers and the jerseys and all of that kind of stuff. Does it bring a significantly added level to what you can provide strategically and tactically?
Yeah, there isn't any doubt about that as well, because the detail of the analysis, I mean, it's the same in most sports. I'm not that... well up on exactly what the input is, and but all I can say is from the what's happened in soccer and it's developing across the club level. Obviously, you know, League of Ireland clubs don't have the resources, but they're doing their best to be as professional as possible with the analysis, but certainly with the international teams, right through the underage to the senior team. It's become far more detailed and personal as well in many ways. I mean, I'll just give you an example. And I know it was similar in Gaelic. It was just interesting for me to see it close up. But, you know, the use of drones at the training, and the players are... The drone is operating directly over the player's head during the training process. And then that's fed back into the cameras... into screen on the touchline. And the training can be stopped, and players can be shown stuff instantaneously in regard to the training and what they've just done and what they could be doing and where they might just tweak it and change things. So it's that type of detail. All the GPS stuff, yeah, that's all fed in automatically during training, and there's feedback on that at the end of training.
It's amazing, isn't it?
And discussion about the workloads and so on. So it's far more scientific than it was, you know, over the years. And that's the way sport has gone. It just has moved on along that way. It didn't surprise me. I mean, I used to do a bit of science in my time. I worked in a laboratory for 28 years, so I understand science to a degree, and I understand developments in science and how it's implemented in sport and helps performance. But you have got to be up there at that level if you're going to compete in the games, because your opposition are, everyone is trying to get that little edge to compete and be successful at every level, but particularly at the top level.
Did it give you a hunger for it again? Did it give you a taste for thinking, oh, I wouldn't mind hanging up the punditry for a while and heading for management?
Oh, look, I've never lost the goo for it, as I'd say, Anton, in terms of working with players and people and being around matches. I've always loved that. It just hasn't happened over the last number of years for various reasons. And I've enjoyed what I've done in the media side of it. It's great to be near the action, going to matches, having to look at it in... prepare for the work in and the detail of that, and to be informed before you go on to do whether it's a commentary or sitting in the studio talking about games. So I love that, but you know, I've always said to people, there's not like the winning or the losing of the match, particularly the winning. The losing is very painful, and I had a bit of that as well. Not too much of it. I had a bit of it when I was in the films, particularly because, you know, we used to lose a good few matches, but the winning is just the joy of being part of it, and feeling you've had some influence on the game, on the performance, on the players, on their impact in the match, and your impact, or otherwise on the results. You know, it's hard to beat that. So yeah, of course I miss it a bit, but look, you know, I was delighted to have that spell with John. Unfortunately, I couldn't take up the offer on the later two international matches, which proved to be a bit more difficult, obviously, when they went to Portugal, particularly. Have won the match with Hungary, was great. But look, we'll see how that works out in the future, and who exactly is going to be involved in the future. I don't expect I will be.
And what then about the interaction with the FAI? Because you weren't quite Roy Keane levels of bitterness when it drew to a conclusion, but you weren't delighted with the manner in which you were treated back then.
No, I mean, I think overall results, we didn't qualify for the World Cup in 2006. It was a tight group, but you know, we lost the match to France here, which was massively disappointing. But that was the only game we lost in the group. So I felt at the time I was still, I suppose, starting to integrate a lot of the younger players that I dealt with previously before I went into the job. Inherited a very good team from Mick. But look, at the end of it, you know, they decide your time is up and you have to get on with life. And I did. I wouldn't have been delighted about it. No, you know, rarely people get sacked in life and they say, oh, that was great, they did the right thing. You didn't realise how good I was. I mean, that's not the way it works. You just have to get on with it. But, you know, I think people saw after the administration, the FAI, at that time and for years after, wasn't in very good hands. And I saw that at the time and I was frustrated by it. I was frustrated for a long number of years afterwards.
I was asking you about the management side of things. On the punditry side of things, is there anybody you look up to? Do you do the same level of analysis on yourself? Do you watch back videos of pundits and say, that guy or that girl, that's who I emulate. I'm going to see if I can improve my game.
No, I don't look back at anything I do. I'm mostly afraid of hearing myself or looking back at myself afterwards. You know, I don't know, whether it's embarrassment or I don't want to know really. I take the criticism and correction from my kind of producers and whoever gives me a gig, and I take that on board and try to, you know, be better at the angle they want me at. As again, watching other people, I always think they're all great, Anton. I really do. I'd love to be as good as them. Now, some of the ones on BBC, I might say, or ITV, I might go, oh, that's awful stuff. That's terrible shite. And that's, you know, there's too much laughing and giggling at times, not real analysis. And I do often feel they haven't really studied these teams. They're going through the motions. But that would be... I don't find that on Irish TV. I usually think the people are very, very good. Who do I really admire in it? I tell you who I really like. I like Danny Murphy. I think he's a very, very good pundit. I think he's a very good co-commentator. I think he's a real honest feeling for the game and the tactics of the game. And he was on doing the match last night. I thought he was really good. But look, you know, there's loads of people I like. There's not many I dislike. I just find some of the analysis a bit loose and kind of, you know, I see the English thing where they like in advance of these Euros, I thought they were going overboard about how good so many of the players were. And now they're at the other end of the scale. It's the manager's fault. Some of those players...
Yeah, that's so out of character for the English. Brian, listen, time is against us. My apologies. It has been lovely to talk to you. That is Brian Kerr, former Republic of Ireland manager, and of course, TV and radio pundit on Virgin Media TV and our own Off the Ball.
The Anton Savage Show with Kieries.ie on News Talk.